regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh scrubs. Call me privately.
Welcome to episode 86 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only Pimp Cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, y'all. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all. Don't forget, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Things are looking good out there in that high tunnel, y'all. I'm sitting there looking at these seeds, and so far, everything I see out there has 100% germination rate, so far at least, I mean, from what I can tell. Also, remember, they have all those things that you can't necessarily source in your dry goods unless you have a freeze dryer, which, by the way, we have a link for that down below if you should require one. Don't forget to tip a pimp on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. Also, you can, if you feel like we're worthy, you can also say so with your money.
With SATS.
SATS. S-A-T-S. Stands for a word that I can never seem to adequately.
Satoshis.
Yeah, I can't ever seem to pronounce that right.
Fractions of a Bitcoin, apparently.
Yeah, but it's also cool that you can triple up your podcast and all those other things out there. All right, tip of the day. Folks, this is a big one because I get a lot of emails, and I've historically gotten, it doesn't have to be either emails, it's also things in responses to what we do on YouTube and some other places, where people are just intimidated by the mountain of work that they have in front of them. Folks, we're doing a series right now. It's going to come out probably tomorrow regarding of how you take massive spaces. Y'all, we live in a big spot. And for a whole bunch of reasons, I'm not going to tell anybody how much. And you can look at these things and be just absolutely overwhelmed by the mountain of work that you have in front of you. Because let's say it's a piece of land that forever and a day has never been dealt with. Or it's a piece of land that might have been abused, like the situation we're in.
Yeah.
And you find yourself in the, like, man, good night. Where do I start? We are using an awesome, sensible method to do that. So don't look at it as one giant space. I keep going on about this because so many people are asking. Greg Judy does it in his own way, where he buys a farm that's completely run down, has no wire, has not this, not has anything. And what does he do? He breaks it down into paddocks and then solves the problem that way. And he's using his animals to do it. Now, we're showing you how to do it on a smaller scale and how you can take some what seems to be insurmountable, like where on earth do I even start, and breaking it down to bite-sized chunks.
You know what would be really cool at Greg Judy's place? You know how they take those ice core samples and they can look at the different layers and determine the years and stuff like that? That'd be cool to do at Joel Salatin's place, Greg Judy and Joel Salatin, is to take a core sample of their pasture and see how much soil they made each year.
Well, that'd
be
funny.
I don't know if it's possible, but that would be cool.
It's funny you mentioned that. I don't know that you could break it down per year, but I am going to try and do that very thing while I'm out there. Hopefully he'll let me take the opportunity to do it. I'm sure he's going to have something of a demonstration to show exactly how the soil is coming to life. But y'all, it comes down to if you have those thickety, nasty messes and you need to find ways to alleviate that problem, we're going to focus a lot on that. Because whether it's land that you rent or land that you own or somebody you know, and you're thinking, good night, man, this thing is a mess. What do I do? Well, we're going to show you how, start to finish, how we do that. And everybody, and probably most people in the sound of my voice right now, to some degree or another, has a piece of their property, whether it's part of your backyard in a city or whether it's something on large acreage. We're going to show you a way in which we deal with that. And it doesn't have to happen overnight. And mentally, it gives you, it's kind of like 75 hard.
Yeah.
It really is. So you, at first, you're struggling at first. You're in pain. It hurts. It sucks. You're rewiring your mind. But you get these little victories along the way. It's the same thing that the power list does.
Yeah.
It gets you used to winning. And that's exactly what we've taken. We've taken what Andy Frisella has said. We're taking what Greg Judy and Joel Salatin, and we've kind of made something of a system out of it Didn't want to tell you about it until we've come up with a really good way of doing that. So just break down those big spaces, even if you're somebody who's infirmed. Okay, so let's say you don't take an acre out and work at it that way. Maybe it's not even a quarter acre or a half acre. Maybe it's nothing more than a 10 by 10. You say, all I'm going to do, don't think about nothing else, but worry about the space you're in. So we're going to talk more about that, folks, and hopefully it's going to be a blessing to you. All right, before we get into the farm news, y'all, want to make you all aware that coming up very soon, like the end of next week, April 28th, 29th, we're going to be doing a pig processing out there. Probably going to be the last one we do this year, along with the one the following weekend, May 5th and 6th. It's going to be at So the Land. Links for that down below, y'all. Clock's ticking. I'm not trying to put the fear game on anybody, but look, it's like every single time we do one of these, people come back and say, oh man, I'm sorry, I wish I would have gone to that. We'll catch you next time. Take a look at the world we're in right now, y'all. I don't know when there's going to be a next time. So right now, this is the way things are going right now. This is going to be the last one we do this year. So if you want to get in, links are going to be down below. Hope to see y'all there. All right, son, farm news. What have you been up to lately?
Real estate course, this, doing stuff with the YouTube channel, the pimp cast, all types of stuff like that. That was a vague or broad question.
Well, that's everything. Well, that's the answer. I mean, people want to hear updates as far as what's going on. So, y'all, a lot of homesteading and farming is going to be very repetitive. And I think honestly, that's part of what gives a lot of people the burnout. I think part of that is not knowing the full nature that you have got to constantly add new elements to what it is you're doing, or you will get to the point of burnout. I truly believe that.
Yeah, you should constantly be improving. If you're improving, then you probably don't hit that burnout stage. And whenever you're stagnant, I think is probably when you're hitting that burnout stage.
Exactly. So we have the maintenance that we have to do. Animals got to move every day. High tunnel needs to be watered. And then in the course of every day, there's also that element that is something new. And right now, that element is clearing this area up the mountain that has been the scourge. I mean, we made pretty good progress on the very beginning because it literally touched the back door.
Yeah.
We went from zone, I mean, tell me if I'm lying, we went literally from zone zero to zone five in three steps.
Yeah, literally. I think we've done videos before on it. Talking about the zones, I think we pointed that out as a zone five area.
Yeah, we literally walked out of our back and it was zone five all the way up that mountain. Well, we made it from zone five to zone two, and now it is starting to become quite accessible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's a terrace even for us to walk on.
Yeah, and we just got to keep doing that. We could even do it if you were in a bind, you could even do it by hand. Yeah. You could literally make a hand terrace up the side of this mountain.
It's going to take a minute. You might want to do 45 minutes a day at a time.
Yeah, but that's how it goes. I mean, we're going to do this like they do in Vietnam, man. So, yeah, far as farm news, there's going to be some of this stuff that seems a little repetitive, but we are gaining ground in the biggest way. Let me tell you why. So William's talking about the basic things that he's knocking out. So you threw in a real estate course. I have a soils course. And I'm blasting along at this thing. And it takes a great deal of coordination throughout my day. I don't get to have emails. I don't listen to podcasts. And we're going to talk about that in the main topic today, y'all, especially with Bobby Spags. He's going to be coming up here after a while. You're going to want to tune in for that because Bobby is always a wealth of information. And plus, he's going to make an announcement that I think everybody's going to benefit in some way or another. Also, harvesting comfrey, making bone sauce. Those are things that have to get done, but they have to be done responsibly because we're taking from the environment in terms of comfrey. We can't just rape the environment. And then when you go through it and it's done, well, guess what? We got bare soil. That needs to be dealt with. So we need to put wood chips down or mulch or some whatever it is you do. Studying is a massive component in all three of our lives right now.
Yeah.
You're doing one. I'm doing one. Your mom's doing one. And it never goes away. Part of a program that I really want to do, and we've kind of touched on it before, is that you should always, if this is a life you choose to engage in, unless you want to get to that point where you don't grow or where you're just day by day, week by week, month after month, toiling away and not advancing, then you have got to put in education in there. I'm not only doing the soils course, I just finished Greg Judy's latest book. I'm about to kick into Joel Salatin's book that I haven't read, and it's about farm businesses. You have got to constantly be improving, y'all. And that is part of what a big part of what we do in the farm news.
Some other farm news is some of you may have seen the video that came out yesterday with Mom and Emily, their first vlog together. That is going to be happening more often. They're going to start doing videos together more often, and they're going to be part of the vlog series. I don't know the frequency yet, or really, like, I don't even know what the main topic of their vlogs are going to be. That's going to be largely up to them. So that'll be something to look forward to.
I think it's a really helpful thing for all the people out there looking at how do we turn this on to the next generation? Because Emily doesn't necessarily have knowledge about a lot of what's going on here. And your mom has extensive knowledge. And they're also doing it because so many women reach out and they feel intimidated. Like, how do I get going on this? How do I relate to my family? How do I get my daughter or my son or my grandson or granddaughter or niece or nephew, whatever the case may be, how do we get them engaged in this stuff? Joel has really done a great work on this, especially when dealing with kids. Yeah. Like, you don't just go out there and tell a little kid, if you want the fastest way to turn them off, do what I did early on. Okay, we're going to work outside. There's no finish line. You don't know where that is. It's like Joel said, you give them a specified area of what they have to do.
Yeah.
You have rewards for hitting the finish line. And they don't necessarily mean going to get candy. You know, you don't reward a kid necessarily for cleaning his room. That's what you do for being a human being. They got to be defined. And Joel does an enormous job in showing you how to get these kids engaged.
Well, but also his son took off with the rabbitry business. His grandsons, one is taking off with the ducks, and then the other one, I think, is taking off with the hare sheep.
Right. So you bring it up that way, and that's part of what I think this blog is going to, I know it's trying to find a place. We're still going to be doing the things we normally do. This is only going to be added to the mix, and I think it's going to help out in terms for all the women out there, because honestly, it's kind of male-dominated on this thing, yeah. But we are a family. We do things. We do everything as a family, and that has never really truly been conveyed outside of the chores we do around here.
Not really. And if we're filming anything, none of it can be conveyed because one of us has to film, and then somebody has to be in front of the camera as well.
Right. We're going to do a better job of doing that, and we're not going to do away. You're not going to start seeing Lifetime episodes of people out there crying, you know, gratuitous Stanislavski method actor poses in the thumbnails or any of that. That's not going to happen. We're not changing anything. We're just adding to, which means more of our burden, which is a good thing because honestly, people out there that are thinking, okay, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get it off and running. That's exactly what we're going to try to do. And like everything else, like when we began this podcast, you feel like a pig on roller skates until you find out a formula that works for you. And along the way, that's just going to be another one of them, y'all.
And I bet their vlogs become more popular than the regular episodes and stuff, the regular videos.
Well, it'll offer an opportunity for anybody, no matter where you are in this continuum. It's mostly a how-to channel, okay? That's what we do. And that's not going to go away. We're just going to add in other things that I think might be a blessing to other people. All right, y'all. So we're recording this a day early. It's still going to come out on Thursday. Point being is that I didn't get my download from Pastor Lon, but I'm going to go ahead and do the best I can do. And every single day, y'all, I mean, I try to remember to quote Psalm 91 audibly. But also, you know, I'm trying to go through another one of my goals is I want to memorize as many Psalms as possible. But one of the ones that really brings me peace is Psalm 1. And think about the life lesson here, especially in these times. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." All right, I may have got a word or two wrong in there because I'm not looking at anything. I'm reciting this from memory. And if you can't overlay, because honestly, one of the biggest problems I've had in the past, remember the very beginning, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, yeah. I spent a fair portion of my life doing that very thing and making excuses like, well, you know, this guy's loyal. I'll overlook some of these other things.
Yeah.
And then it winds up biting you in the back. And look, y'all, I'm not making any compromises anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm definitely not anywhere near as good as Pastor Lon, but honestly, that's one of those verses, or actually that's a whole chapter. That's Psalm 1, the very first Psalm. That brings me joy when I say that. And it's also a constant reminder that you can't compromise. You can't have bad people in your life or consort with them in the worst kind of ways. You might have to work with some. That's all well and good. You can't avoid that. But listen, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in fellowship with people that aren't heading in the same direction as we are. And I mean that from a business standpoint. I mean it from a personal standpoint. And I mean it also from a Christian standpoint. So I'm trying to spend less time in these people that aren't walking in the same direction as I am. I wish you well, but I can't walk with you. So we're going to jump right into, at this point, do we normally go to a break, son, or we do good news, bad news?
We usually do good news, bad news, and then the break.
Bam. So I messed up, y'all. All right, y'all, we're going to jump straight into it, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. In fact, this whole segment, I'm wondering if in the future I probably ought to omit it altogether. But look, UN calls for decriminalization of all sexual activity, including pedophilia. Good night, man.
Who's calling?
UN calls for decriminalization of all sexual activity, including pedophilia. So, folks, if this isn't an indication of the world you live in right now, go right back to Psalm 1. Okay? Anybody that's telling me that it's okay to chop off the junk of a little boy or turn a little girl into a little boy, look, I can't be friends with you. I can't be hanging out with you. I wish you the best. I'll pray for you. But if that's where you are, look, I'm not going to stand with you. Can't do it. I will pray for you. And that's about all I can do.
Yeah.
In that regard.
And you better pray. It's none of the kids we know.
Yeah.
Like what? That seems like they're just trying to incite something. Like saying something like that just seems like they're trying to get a reaction out of people just like us and go ahead and preemptively do something.
But I'm not so sure it's working out well for them. This controversy with Bud Light and all this other stuff. And I know people are out there saying, oh, you shouldn't boycott them. Well, I'm hoping people show a backlash. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that are going to personally suffer to some extent or another. I get that. But Bud Light, if you care enough, you need to go out there, do an apology tour for the ages.
Yeah, but actually mean it.
Yeah.
Like, don't go back and do the same thing. You have to actually mean it.
Well, there are people out there, like Dan Bongino's sidekick. He's like, I don't care how many times they apologize, it ain't never going to be right with me. You ain't going to tell me, and I'm not believing this whole thing like, oh, this girl just went out there and, you know, this one who was in charge of marketing or whatever, she went out there, did this, and nobody was aware of it. Well, if nothing else, Dan, if you were unaware of it, that tells me you're incompetent.
Well, no, not with a corporation that big. Like, Andy Frazella talked about that a couple of times. His point was he doesn't know what his marketers are doing. Like, for his business, his job isn't to completely like pay attention to what the marketers are doing. He hired them to do their job, and that's marketing.
So if
it comes back out like, oh, they come out with some transgender crap, then he should address it. But it's not like it could be his fault for hiring those marketers, but they are the ones that did it.
And what would Andy Frisella have done? He would have come down on them like Thor's hammer.
Yeah, I agree.
And in this case, you know, you're letting days turn into weeks, and this thing just metastasizes. If it were my company, I guarantee, first of all, I would have never hired that fruitcake to begin with. Second of all, I would have come out, fired her butt, made a public example of her, and said, look, y'all, we messed up. We hired some basket case to come in here, clearly doesn't know the brand. But I guess going back to this article, son, I think people are starting to viscerally react. And that's exactly what we need. This can't keep happening.
But also, it's Bud Light. It's the equivalent of McDonald's doing something wrong. Like, nobody can be, A, should be that surprised, and B, you shouldn't be consuming it anyway. Yeah. Like, if you want, like if you're going to be drinking beer, drink good beer. Don't drink Bud Light. Well, if you're going to be eating food, don't eat McDonald's. Eat good food.
Yeah, so maybe this boycott might actually wind up in a really good health, a positive health outcome in the big end of things. I mean, I'm sure people will find a plan B. But look, we're not going to spend much time on that.
It's like all the fruitcake like industry just went under. Nobody cares.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, although I know there are a lot of people out there that are going to be affected by it. Now, my heart goes out to them, but hopefully they'll set things right. And judging by the silence, they're doing the worst thing. They should have come out the next day. Look, this chick's down the river. You offended everybody in our demographic. I mean, it's like if you wanted to commit business suicide, couldn't think of a better way of doing it. All right, good news, y'all. Prepper medicine, 9 medicinal herbs to plant in your home garden. So California poppy, calendula, chamomile, chicory, echinacea, feverfew, meadowsweet, peppermint, and yarrow. A lot of that we got out here growing.
Yeah, I think meadowsweet and feverfew?
Yeah.
Those were the only two I saw or heard of that I don't think we have planted.
Yeah, but that's one area where we can fill in the gaps.
You know, we got yarrow. That's for doggone sure. Oh, that man. Stuff takes over.
Yeah, we got plenty of that. And the sheep love it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's out in the pasture.
In fact, it was planted for the sheep by mom.
Yeah, and it's everywhere now. So that's another one of those things, y'all. We're getting to the point where, and we're going to talk about it in the interview, where you're going to have to think about your own medicine. We are getting to that stage in the United States of amnesia where it's really becoming consequential. All right, other article. Okay, salt fermentation. This is something I really wish we would have covered it in the past because your mom used to do a lot of that. And I think when harvest comes in, she's going to start doing a lot more of it.
Oh, yeah.
How to turn your garden vegetables into super healthy probiotic foods. And folks, she would ferment just about everything.
Yeah, she's also like addicted to fermented foods.
Man, I swear she eats like a pregnant woman. I mean, like pickles, she will literally eat pickles and stuff like that. Fermented food at every single meal. So think about, that's another feather to put in your hat. If you don't necessarily have a freeze dryer or a canner or any of that other stuff, you might want to seriously think about fermenting stuff because it keeps forever in a day. And honestly, it is uber, uber good to you.
Yeah, pickled okra is the best.
Man, that is one of my absolute favorites. I didn't think I'd like it. All right, we get back into it with Bobby. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are back with our main event. It's going to be the topic of today's show, and frankly, I can't think of anybody better than my man from way back. He's a friend of mine, y'all. You've heard him before, and he's back by popular demand. Bobby from Spags Unfiltered. How you doing, my man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to have you on here. I know you have some exciting news to present, and also I thought maybe we'd get into the weeds. Maybe kind of briefly cover some of the things that everybody seems to be really tripping about today. You of all people, I don't need to tell you what's going on, but you know, for those out there that definitely have these concerns, we have clearly a dollar that is going in free fall. Clearly we got wars and rumors of wars everywhere. Clearly we have what seems to me, I haven't really talked this out with you, but it seems to me that we have, you know, all these different accidental cattle dying, you know, by the thousands and thousands, and food processing facilities falling apart. Well, folks, for all you folks that are writing into me wondering, what on earth do you do and how do you go about it? Well, we're bringing on the person that I go to when I need help about these things. So, Bobby, what do you tell those folks that are struggling right now trying to figure out which way to go?
So, to answer your question, remove as much control over you as possible. Society controls you. It controls you through your food, your water, your money, and how you spend your time. So remove as much of that control as you can. Grow your own food as much as you can. Collect your own water as much as you can. Find sound means of money as best as you can and stop watching the news. Take your time back and use it doing something better.
Bobby, you just said it all right there. I'll tell you one big thing that I've recently done, okay? I'm in the middle of doing a program called 75 Hard. And in order to do this plan, I've had to restructure my entire life. I basically cannot, you know, I can't answer all the texts that come in. I do answer all the emails, but I cannot have a long form exchange in text messages and things like that. Another thing I had to do, and it's taking your advice, is that in all of these podcasts that I listen to throughout the day, and it, believe me, in the past, it's been many, I was noticing at the same time, it wasn't a fearful thing. It was, I had a degree of irritation, slightly, you know, easily irritable. And then also to do this program, because I'm also doing an educational series that requires a great deal out of me. And I mean, a great deal. And I also have to run businesses, run a farm, do all these other obligations. The number one thing I had to do was turn off the news, even some of the most reliable types out there. And I had to titrate in these things in order. And then what I found over the last several weeks is that everything in my life has improved, especially in terms of my mental well-being. So right off the bat, I mean, I took some of your advice, and I got to be honest with you. Yes, I am busier than I have ever been in my life, but I'm more at peace.
Mm-hmm. It's a good busy, right? You're actually filling your time with things that matter. You know,
things that are going to not only put food on my plate, but everybody else there that's listening to this, I am learning skills right now that are going to take what I already know to the stratosphere, and I can convey that in a way. And like you said, I mean, what good is it talking about what's going on in Ukraine or these polecats in D.C. or even knowing about a lot of this stuff? I mean, yeah, I know just enough, but I'm not so inundated with it that it just consumes every thought about how I go about it. Bobby, yeah, you're a man full of a lot of wisdom out there. And part of that wisdom, y'all, is spending time in the company of one another. I just got finished leading, well, really two festivals back to back. We had Keeper of the Old Ways down in Alabama. And then we just had one last week, which is Farm Where You Live. And what I find out in all these different events, and I've kind of had to titrate back my, you know, availability and doing a lot of those, even though we have a lot of invitations to go to these things. But what I do find out is that it is wonderful to be in the company of people like that. Well, as I understand it, Bobby, you have an event coming up pretty doggone soon, don't you?
Yeah, it's next weekend, actually, in Perry, Kansas. It's called the Midwest Preparedness Project. And this will be, I think, our 20 or 21st show. And it's going to be a really good one. We have a good lineup of speakers. We have a good lineup of events and things for children. It's a family-oriented show. It is, in many ways, without officially being so, it's a faith-based show. And so you're going to find that sense of community and that sense of family that you don't necessarily find at some of the larger shows.
No, I totally agree. And having, you know, hey, folks, just full disclosure, Bobby's been a friend of mine from way back, and he's been doing these things for a very long time. And he was one of the ones really that got me in, that really kind of got my feet wet in terms of preparedness community. I'd already been doing it to a certain extent, but he got me into the community side of it and finding out, and there's no way to avoid this, you know, who are the people you want to have relationships with? Who are the people maybe you want to avoid? How to forward up with these people. And I got to say, man, back there where you guys are, good night, man. I'll tell you, one of the things I really miss about living in Kansas in that area is that you guys have a very, very tight-knit community. So if anybody who's hearing this right now is thinking, okay, I don't know anybody there. I'm not going to fit in. What do you say to these people that are thinking, okay, do I really want to go to something like this?
The only home run you miss is the one you fail to swing at, for one. For two, last year in the fall, we had people from Texas. We had people from Minnesota. We had people from Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Carolinas. We had people from all over. It wasn't just people from Kansas. You know, the Midwest is a very big place. And then there were some folks who came from places that are considered not the Midwest, and they're absolutely welcome here. And a lot of them are coming back. Community is everything. We are a communal creature. You know, when God made us, he said, go out and fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, go sit on a mountain and hide. So the issue with the preparedness community, by and large, is that we are introverts living an extroverts lifestyle. And so you have to be willing to go out of your comfort zone to find people with commonality, because if you don't, all you're going to hear are the voices on the radio or the voices on the TV or the voices on the podcast or the voices on the internet. And that's just, generally speaking, mind pollution.
Bobby, I couldn't have said it better. I mean, I'll tell you what it also does. For me, it's a giant investment of time when I go to these things, especially these days with all the different irons I have in the fire. But in just the two that I went to, and folks, by the way, in the future, I plan on going to one of these events Bobby has going on as well. I'll tell you what you find out, or at least what I find out, is you're surrounded by a bunch of people you wish were your neighbors.
Yes.
Maybe not all of them, but by and large, even if you're the most introverted person in the world, you already have the break the ice part of a relationship knocked out because you're in the same place. You obviously share that in common.
Sure. So
at this event, what can folks expect to learn or see, or is it really a good networking? I mean, why don't you tell us what they can expect at this event? Obviously, I got to say, though, before you answer that, Bobby, one of the cool things I saw about your last one was the birdhouse thing. That when I watched that video, I can't remember if it was on Spags Unfiltered, which, by the way, folks, you want to check him out on YouTube. Lots of awesome information over there. But one of the cool things that I was like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. Are you going to have things like that at this next event?
Oh, yes. We have a youth coordinator. Her name is Christy, and she comes up with a line of events every single time we do this. And we do have several events lined up for the kids. But yeah, the bird feeders last time was probably one of the crowning events of that fall event, of that fall festival. It was so cool to watch these kids get together, and all these bird feeders were pre-built. You know, the pieces were cut and the holes were tapped. All they had to do was take some basic tools and learn how to put it together. And you watched the parents leave their chairs and come over and sit down with their kids and actually spend time with them. And that's really the goal of this thing is to, you know, we don't want to be like other prepper shows or other homesteading events where you have the kids will run over here and get corralled into some place with a couple of sheep and a bounce house. And then all the adults go over here to listen to, you know, people whine about who's president. So with us, we do have a lineup of adult classes. We have bug out bag classes. We have a pretty timely one. The second class on Friday is a CBRN class. For those of you who haven't been in the military, that's chemical, biological, radiologic, and nuclear events. And this is all being spurned because of the train derailment in Ohio. We're bringing in a former Army CBRN specialist to actually talk about how you can protect yourself. And then we have a guy who's doing, you know, a solar class on how to do solar energy and he actually builds and designs solar systems for people's homes and businesses. We have a gal named Callie Blackwell. Some of you might've heard her name. She has a book out called, I think, The One in a Billion Boy. Her son had two forms of cancer over in England and they basically put him in hospice and told her, get your affairs in order. She basically broke the law and said, get bent, and started treating him with alternative medicine. I'll let your mind go where that wants to go. But he's alive now and he's fully recovered and he's healthy and he didn't die, you know? So she's going to talk about rescuing her son from the medical matrix and ways that people can, her whole opinion is you shouldn't just grow your food. You should grow your medicine too. Yeah, that transcends well beyond what most people are going to think that means. It's not just about, you know, getting high. That's not what she's about. It's about actually using the plants on earth and the herbs and things of that nature to find alternative methods to big pharma. And then Saturday, we have a female self-defense class. We're going to have some dude get dressed up in a red man suit. We're bringing in the guys from fire defense, and they are going to let girls beat the shit out of this guy in a red man suit. After that, we have a professional radio guy. Michael Staus will be coming in from Paratus Radio, and he's the guy that teaches, you know, Boy Scout troops and search and rescue teams how to use their handheld ham radios and this stuff. He's a professional radio man. And then we have our final closer, Matt Klepfer, coming in on Saturday from Harmony Hills Farmstead, and he's going to do a faith-based class about essentially what you introduced this whole segment about in building community. The class is called When Times Get Tough, Jerks Always Finish Last. And it's going to be about how you use your elderly and your children in a communal situation to impart wisdom to each generation to come so you don't have to become the bad guy. And while all that's happening, there's a list of children's events that happen kind of in between these things. Some of them concurrent, some of them in between. It just depends on what the event is to get the children involved so that they can do things as well.
Folks, this is exactly what I've been getting at for the longest time. This is why during the PimpCast, we have the bad news, good news segment where I give you one bad news segment and then I give you two good for every bad. This is exactly what we need. I mean, it's not just, it sounds to me like, Bobby, the face of how these events, at least the way I remember them, has changed considerably. It went from exclusively, let's call it like a guy thing. And, you know, there was a little, maybe if the women wanted to participate, well, here you go. Man, I don't recall these things in the past being so inclusive to include kids and what ladies would also need. I mean, it sounds like you've really come a long way as far as how these things have developed.
Yeah, you have to include everybody. You know, I was recently talking to another friend about shows and I was making the point to him that, you know, yeah, all the guys want to sit around and circle jerk to AR-15s and mountains of ammo. But at the end of the day, there's a lot more to preparedness and homesteading than just having a cool gun with some Gucci gear on it. You know, and if you create events that force one parent to stay at home with the kids, you're missing half the family. In fact, you're missing three quarters of the
family. Exactly.
And so, yeah, male-centric prepping. You know, we all believe in gender. We all believe in gender roles. We all believe in men being men and women being women. But homesteading is a team effort. Prepping is a team effort. It is most certainly not male-centric. And we have to break this weird, egotistical, male-driven preparedness world that we currently live in. I mean, when you remember back in the expo days when we had the Kansas Prepper Expo and full spectrum preparedness expos and all that, what would always happen? The families would come in, the guy would go straight to the gun table because let's face it, men, we're a little simple-minded when it comes to what we see at a show. We see shiny and we run over. And then you'd see the mom carrying a baby and pushing a baby stroller walk up to the water purification table and the essential oils table and the seed table and the gardening tool table. And after 3 hours of that family being there, the guy's over asking, can I buy this gun? And she's saying, yes, but only if I can buy the same amount of dollars worth of stuff and all this other stuff. And it became very apparent to us during the expo days that at the end of the day, women actually drive prepping more than men do. In most families, women pay the bills. Women run the money. You know, the guy might go out and make it, but she's the one at home paying the bills and keeping the ledger and all that. You have to appeal to all of that. You can't just be a bunch of dudes running around talking about gas masks and stuff, because that's frankly kind of boring.
Frankly, I'm so pleased, man, to hear that this thing has drifted. And of course, this is why you're the best at it in the whole preparedness world and the homesteading world, folks. I'm talking to the very best. I mean that. I'm talking to the very best. And he's been at this for years and years and years and put these things on forever and a day. And clearly you got, it seems like, good night, man. I really wish I could be at this thing. Sounds like you got so many of the bugs worked out, and it seems 180 degrees. I mean, I enjoyed the ones in the past because guess what? I'm a guy. So it looks like this thing is going to work out for everybody's benefit. Bobby, let's talk about where they can go to get tickets for this thing. What days are we looking at? What are the ticket costs? Is there lodging available, camping? What do you got?
Yeah, basically this thing started as a camp out. So it's still a camp out at heart. We have a campground at Perry Lake in Kansas. If you go to MidwestPreparednessProject.com, you can find a map and a Google Earth link. And even I think we provide map coordinates for the hardcore guys who just want to plug it in and try to find it, right? There are no tickets. There is no cost. One of our goals is to remain in a way where we never have to charge you to walk through the gate. Knowledge should be free. It should be something we impart to each other because we all benefit the smarter everyone is. The way that currently we finance ourselves is we do a giveaway. You know, we can't use the dreaded R word or all of a sudden, you know, the gaming commission wants to get involved. So we basically have a bunch of things that all of our sponsors, such as yourself, have donated to us. And I charge people $5 per prize ticket, or they can get 5 tickets for $20. And that's how we fund this thing. And every year it the amount of money that we bring in grows and grows, and we can put on bigger and better events, bring in different speakers. But yeah, it's April 26th through the 30th, Wednesday and Thursday. The 26th and 7th are generally free days where people come in, they set up camp, they park their RVs, they build their glam camp, whatever they want to do, string their hammocks. And during that time, Patrick and I are setting up the stage and getting everything under the pavilion, setting up the displays, you know, cordoning off areas, putting the vendors where they're supposed to go. And then things really kick off on Friday with those that first round of classes, and then Saturday with the second round of classes. We have a big potluck on Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, and we coordinate across multiple social media platforms. You can find me personally. You can find me on Freesteading. You can find me on MeWe. You can find me on YouTube and Rumble. But we also, unfortunately, because we live in the world we do have to maintain a Bookface page. So if you go over to Mark Zuckerberg's Kingdom, you can find us there. Just look for Midwest Preparedness Project, and you'll find all of our social media there. We are in the process of upgrading the webpage from into a much more complex page that's going to have a lot more meat and potatoes to it. And just show up when you want. It's right by Perry, Kansas, which is about 20 minutes away from Topeka. It's about, I think, 30 minutes away from Holton and about 40 minutes away from Kansas City. So it's right in the middle of three, decent sized cities and towns where there's plenty of amenities. If you want to get a hotel, you can do that. If camping's not your thing, I totally get it. I'm 44 after almost two decades in the Army. I don't particularly like to camp anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
But there's gas stations, there's restaurants, but most of the people just bring all their food with them, all their water. They cook on some fire rings that we have out there, and it's everyone kind of shares and gets along, and it's a fantastic time.
Yeah. And if you don't want to bring anything else, I mean, there are places to eat around there. Perry's a pretty big lake too. So, I sure miss hanging out with you boys and gals.
I'll get you in the fall, right? I can get you. Yeah.
We're going to definitely be out there. But folks, this is where, if you're in, no matter where you are in that continuum of homesteading, preparedness, permaculture, practical living, that's why we call this show about permaculture, preparedness, practical living. You're going to find something for you out there. And I wouldn't be bringing Bobby to you if he wasn't the best, y'all. That's why I'm really selective as of late. The kind of people I can get on this show, first of all, I can't bring on any charlatans. I can't bring on people who are not what they claim to be, or they're more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. Can't have those people on here. And Bobby has been at this for a long, long time. He's not going to steer you wrong. We're going to put all the links down below as to where you can find him. And we're going to also, hopefully in one of the next videos up here, if we can, we'll make sure we give Bobby a shout out in this event, actually, on the next couple of YouTube videos for anybody that may be in the area. So we're going to cover that. Also, check out Freesteading. I've been pretty derelict myself of getting over there, just been going at 100 miles an hour. Folks, you're going to be glad you did. But Bobby, there's going to be people that are disappointed if I don't at least reach out to you and ask, what is big on your radar right now in terms of the status quo? I know that we're not going to be fearful. We're not going to be afraid. And we're definitely not going to believe these profligate prostitutes in the media or the pundits or the politicians. But what is big? What is the biggest thing that maybe has you a little bit concerned, or maybe there isn't anything? What's got your attention right now?
I think the most important thing we should be focusing on is the advent of the CD or CBCD, whatever it is, currency. I think 2020, I mean, this is a podcast, right? This isn't YouTube, so we can actually use words here, right?
Well, we're in both, but honestly, we don't really care. It's primarily a podcast, but it's also simulcasted on the Pimpcast YouTube channel. So, if we get busted off of there, I ain't gonna lose no sleep. But
I'll try to be careful then. When the thing happened in 2020, when the great deception occurred in 2020, we saw a lot of things happen where wealth was consolidated even more so than at any point in the history of the world. That has only continued. And the ultimate goal, in my opinion, is control of the entire world's financial system. Well, the West's financial system. We have the BRICS banking system over here with China, Russia, and a few other major players that is directly fighting what we're doing. And by we, I mean the West. I don't mean me. I'm a anarchist buddy. I don't play that game. But the fact is that when CBDC comes in, when the central bank digital currency comes in, all of your traditional safe havens for tax-free money, you know, yard sales, mowing the grass, selling something on Facebook Marketplace, selling something on Craigslist, whatever, will be essentially gone. And we're going to have to come up with, as a community, alternative means of barter and potentially even our own underground currency systems. Look, the black markets are free markets, and gray markets are the best place to exist for someone in our line of work and our line of influence. You know, we can't necessarily go full black market, but we can certainly dabble in that gray market. And I think that that's the thing that's going to be the most concerning to most people, because it's going to affect everyone here, and it will be weaponized against people like us. I was talking, you know, Tag from Life Done Free. Talking with him recently about this, and he brought up a good point that when this depression happens, which we're on the cusp of, we are in a full recession right now, on the cusp of another Great Depression, they've orchestrated things to the point where the average middle-class person will very likely not even notice. However, people like you and me are going to be physically punished, and we are going to be targeted with an all-electronic, all-digital system where they can fine-tune it down using these algorithms and this fake AI stuff that they keep talking about to target people and make sure that, oh, my card got turned off today. You know, why? Well, you've reached your maximum number of carbon credits for the week, whatever the case may be. And I'm using very general terms. It could be a whole host of things that they use to do this. But I think that that's probably the biggest threat. What's going on in Europe is a big deal. But honestly, I don't concern myself with it until it's here, because frankly, they could be manipulating this whole thing, as we know. And what we see on, you know, the Communist News Network or on Fox News or on the All About Clinton channel, all that stuff is fake, and we're only being shown little snippets. We're not seeing what's really happening. And so I don't concern myself with it. And I agree with you. It's not about fear. I see nothing but opportunity. As a free market capitalist, everything that's happening is dangerous and scary, and that excites me, because the greatest times in human history where the best growth took place was during the scariest moments that mankind has had to face. And if we just continued on with the way things had always been in this comfortable, laissez, you know, blah of life, we would still have soft men. We would still have, you know, Bud Light sending cans to guys dressing up like girls. That's where we're at. We have to get past that. It's going to have to suck. It has to get hard. Yeah. Your kids will have to go hungry before you actually be motivated to do jack shit about it.
Bobby, I think you said it in a more eloquent way than I ever have on this Pimpcast, in that, you know, like a guy with a whole lot of sense once wrote, adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. And we've been quite prosperous for some time. And I honestly believe, and I'll say it maybe a different way, is that I think we hit a level of depravity that only starvation can cure.
Yep.
But those of us, and that's why we cannot forsake the notion of getting together, finding other like-minded people. Maybe you trade with them. Maybe they help you out. Maybe you work trade as you guys do. I think it's a beautiful thing. And even if you don't live there, I think one of the big benefits of going to something like this, to this festival that we're talking about, is that you can take this model that these guys have. I mean, you guys have been working on this forever and a day. I mean, since before I lived in Kansas. And you can take that model that works and take it back to your community. So I don't care how far, if I were in that position where so many people are coming out of the matrix, they're writing to me and saying, oh my goodness, man, here I am. It feels like I've gone too late. Well, if you want a fast way to get to where, the fastest way, I'm not going to make it sound like it's easy, but if you want to find a way to get to that, and it's not even a finish line, to get to a place where you can put the benefit of the joint wisdom of all the people that are going to be at this thing. One quick way of doing it is going to an event like this, like Bobby said. And I didn't know that, bro. I didn't know you guys weren't charging anything for this. Mm-hmm. So the barrier to entry. So if somebody says I can't afford it, well, can you afford gas? Can you get there? Pack sandwiches like we used to do in the old days. You know, nobody ever ate out when I was a kid. If we ever took a trip, we had stuff in the trunk, man. We made sandwiches along the way. I mean, sleeping bag, whatever it takes, you know. This is Kansas, so, you know, be mindful of the weather. Bobby,
live that prepper life, man. If that's what you're about, be a prepper.
There you go.
Prep your way to the show, man. Yeah, that's why we keep it free.
Bam. Man, that is so awesome. One more time for everybody out there. We're going to get Bobby back, y'all, periodically now that I'm starting to get a few of the bugs worked out. I know everybody's been asking, where did Bobby go? Where did Bobby go? Well, we're going to bring him in for segments if he's able to do it in the future. Bobby, one more time, what's the best way to, for people to get a hold of you and to find out about this festival coming up?
You can go to MidwestPreparednessProject.com, and you can also find us on social media, on MeWe, on Freesteading, on Facebook, and you can contact us there. If you want to email me directly, BobbySpag79@gmail.com. I make my email public, so anyone, I have people that I don't even know email me constantly asking me questions. Email me. I'll talk to you. I don't care. I'm very open about what I do. I do not hide, and I do not hide behind the veil of OPSEC or secrecy. I am who I am, and people know that.
Awesome. Well, folks, this is, if you got any of these questions, if you have any concern about what's going on, as one more note, Bobby, of the two last speaking engagements I just did, I asked by a show of hands, how many people are absolutely positively confounded by what's unfolding right now? How many people are fearful? Nearly every hand in both places went up when I asked that question. Well, folks, if you want to find out, if you want to alleviate some of the concerns you may have right now, this is exactly what you want to go to. Even if you can't make it, see about reaching out to Bobby and this entire cadre of wonderful people that he works with to get everybody trained up. You're going to be glad you did. All right, Bobby, thanks so much, man. We'll get together soon, bro.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. Buying Twitter like he gon' save us. Left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie.
All right, welcome back, y'all. Before I get right into it, I want to remind you that EMP Shield, bam, $50 off with promo code PERMA. They got everything you need for your car and your home and every single device out there. Remember, use that promo code PERMA, $50 off.
Yep, starting off the Q&A, we got a message from the voicemail line. Here we go.
Hey, Pimpcast, how y'all doing? This is Shelly from Two Old Crows Homestead. And I'm calling to let you know to mark your calendars for October 28th and 29th and plan on attending the Kentucky Sustainable Living Homesteading and Preparedness Festival. It's going to be located at Western Kentucky University in the Ag Expo Center in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We have a bunch of speakers lined up discussing everything from pasture management and animal rotation to food preservation and homestead marketing, just to name a few. We will also have demonstrations such as how to select and care for and milk a dairy cow, pig processing, chicken and rabbit processing, and so much more. And best of all, y'all, it's free. Our website is almost complete, but until then, you can stay updated by following our event, Kentucky Sustainable Living Homestead and Preparedness Festival, on Facebook. And you can also follow our YouTube channels. Mine is Two Old Crows Homestead. Jason's channel is Kentucky Sustainable Living. And Jake's channel is Dog Creek Farms. We'll periodically be given updates, and we hope to see you all at our festival. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, and that the voicemail line is 828-380-4419. 828-380-4419. And that was from our sponsor, Shelly, from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
All right, good. It ain't me messing it up this time, okay? So
I didn't do it for 70 episodes straight.
Yeah, I messed it up for her. She's like, yeah, they found their way here anyway, yeah. You big dope. Anyway, no, Shelly's a sweetheart. Her and Randy, boy, they're just wonderful folks. And along with Jason, and y'all here as time unfolds, you're probably thinking, well, why are you doing so much? Why are you doing so much promotion for these events? Folks, they are that important. They really are, especially if you don't know where to start. It's the classes are wonderful, but one of the biggest things you get from these festivals is the fellowship and finding out that there are, if you don't know exactly where they're going to, these people, will direct your steps in the right way you should go to get yourself off and running.
Also, the community aspect. I think all of them met at a festival.
Yeah.
I don't know which one, but I'm maybe the Back to the Land Festival.
It might be.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure like everybody kind of got together by meeting at festivals or through, may have been through YouTube as well.
And what's so cool about these festivals is it's always like a homecoming. It's almost like I was telling, me and Pastor Lon were talking about it. It's like you meet new friends and then you find out you got some that you didn't know before. So then you can't wait to go to the next one because then you're going to catch up with them and their kids and their families and whatever the case may be. It's really awesome. So you got that one from Bobby coming up. Remember, y'all, you want to definitely get there for that one. And then this one's going to be a little further out. But in the future, I was planning on also, as I get some of the cobwebs worked out around here, I'm going to spend more time interviewing these other people doing wonderful things. Jason at Kentucky Sustainable Living is knocking it out of the park. Some of the methods he's doing better than us. And look, I don't care if some people is doing something better than us. I don't care about that. All I care about is that we are advancing this whole design science we call permaculture. And you can't do it when everybody has egos. Well, I don't want this person on my show because they're doing it better than I am. I want you, just like somebody said at the last festival, man, your son, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but your son did way better than you. I'm like, thank God for that.
Well, the thing about doing it better, I do care if somebody's doing it better because I want to know how to do it better.
Yes. Yes. When somebody came up and said they were worried about offending me, I'm like, hey, y'all, you know what? Look, Da Vinci wrote in this thing, it is a poor pupil that does not surpass his master. One of the best compliments I could ever get is that my son is doing better than me. So I'm thankful for that. And then people like Jason are out there knocking this thing out in a way that he's taken whatever we said and moved past it, just like we've taken it past where Jeff Lawton had, where Jeff Lawton took it past where Carl Hammer had.
Yeah.
So, and then Jack Spearco in his own way is taking it past wherever. That is exactly what we should do. But when you get idiotic egos out there saying, I don't want this person on my show, it's going to be a competition for me, man, take that junk somewhere else. I'm not.
Yeah.
This is exactly why we're in the position where we are in this country. Well, that's not exactly it, but well, it definitely doesn't help.
I got a comment, and Dad, I can see your email from here. What's up with that font?
Well,
somebody Adam, had a joke.
No, well, he's like, dude, he wrote it so. He's like, man, okay, I knew you had problems before, man. I'll make sure you read this one.
Yeah, I can read it from here. But I got a comment from the Fountain app from Laura Golden Faith Farm, and it's in regards to episode 85, Knowing When to Change the Direction. She says, I agree, Farm Where You Live should have been a two-day event. We drove from northeast Mississippi. We got all the access. We were in classes all day. Thought we had a half hour after Justin's class to go talk. By the time we got over there, everybody was packing up and leaving. Billy, we did briefly run into you in the parking lot just after your class, and you thanked us for being there. Keep up the good work. This is my favorite podcast / pimpcast. FYI, my husband told me my favorite guy was a pimp daddy.
Bam! Well, thanks so much. I mean, it was a joy to meet y'all, but hopefully next time this thing is more than one day. And honestly, what I would like to see done is kind of what they did more like Back to the Land, where let's say the day's events are over, and then there's just a time to fellowship and hang out.
If you want to. I mean, I understand some people want to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, but if there was a time where everybody could kind of sit around a fire or whatever the case may be, chill out, hang out. That's one cool thing about the event that Bobby has is that if you want to get away, that's fine. But if you want to stay there, things are probably going to be going into the night. And a lot of it happens around the campfire.
Yeah.
And it's just a real joy to be there. All right. So, Adam's making sure.
You want me to read it from here, Dad?
Well, you know, yeah, bro, you can read this thing from the Hubble Space Telescope right now.
It's almost a teleprompter.
I'm like, dude, I almost got to pull it away to read this one. Hey, and on another note, too, hey, y'all, it's a real big help to us if you go out there and give us a review and preferably 5-star. Please take time. I know you got busy things in your day. If you can't do it, I understand, but it is very much appreciated if you did.
We're going to do another knife giveaway here soon.
Yeah, so now nobody's going to put anything down, son, until you do the knife giveaway. They're like, man, I'm not writing anything on there. All right, but yeah, anyway, we would appreciate it, y'all, and we'll have a knife giveaway, clearly. I'm just going to cut right to it. He says, I know that strawberry plants spread by creating runners, but should I keep a maximum mulching thickness in mind, or could you inadvertently eliminate the strawberries, or do you have any alternate solutions for dealing with Bermuda grass? Only thing that's ever worked long-term with us for Bermuda grass was constantly, I'm going to have a better answer for you in the future because it's going to require some experimentation. But I'm thinking if you can create that environment to be a little more fungal dominant, I wonder if your Bermuda grass is going to not want to be there. Also, heavy sheet mulching is the only thing that's ever worked.
The heavy sheet mulching and reapplication of sheet mulching as well, because you have to outcompete the potential energy of that plant.
Right. That's the only thing that's ever worked for us, and it's going to be an ongoing thing, especially when it comes to your beds. And like so many other people, I'm not a big fan of Bermuda grass, although a number of people I remember, they loved it in Oklahoma. Man, they absolutely loved it, but that was mostly in a lawn setting. But we're going to see if we can't get you a better answer. As far as your strawberries, look, the beauty about strawberries is, yes, it runs, it goes by runners, but the cool thing is, it's kind of like taking a page out of Masanobu Fukuoka's book in One Straw Revolution, where he would have this ocean, this sea of
clover
out there. So he'd take out what he needed, put in what he wanted. That's exactly how we do it with the strawberries. Exactly how we do it. We just find a little open spot. Sometimes you may have to, you know, sacrifice one or two. But you go out there, put in what it is you want, and then they kind of do their thing around it.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I got one from Margany Man, I think. Hashtag tip a pimp. Love your show. Have listened to every episode so far. Keep thank on dropping you. The knowledge. Thanks. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. We have one from Melanie here. Big fan of your farming videos. And she was wondering about trombicinos and the seeds on that. Okay, well, we sent her some, or at least I sent it over to your mom to send her some. And look, y'all, we have a, I don't know how many seeds you expect, but when we first got our trombicino seeds, there might have been 5, maybe 10 at the most, and we're doing the best we can. We got to keep a little bit of stock back, but if anybody needs any, maybe send me an email, and if we can manage it, we'll get it out to you. It might take some time, but we will go until we run out. We're not charging anything for it. So if anybody needs some, believe me, hey, read that book. Check out the work of Sean and Beth Doherty, because it's not just trombicinos. There is a whole host of many other things in there. Trombicinos are the ones we just keep going on about.
Yeah. I got one. This is from the Permaculture Pimpcast YouTube channel. Got one from Sunny Preps, and this is in regards to episode 85, When to Change Direction. I wore a mask on my elbow in a bar, catching a favorite local band when the lockdowns finally started to let up. The bouncer had to laugh, but said they would get shut down by the state if caught. If we stayed at our table with our food order, we could leave it off, so no dancing. Also, pretty much the last time I went out, my friends and I get together around campfires these days.
Bam. Just a little corroboration of what I just suggested.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got one from Rob here. He said, it was great to meet you in person at Farm Where You Live. It was great to meet you as well, Grizz. Anyway, he says, glad to see that we didn't have any purple-headed marchies and only saw one trans testicle, which was kind of odd. Look, you know, even those people are welcome in these places. But it does help to see kind of people. I'm glad to see people of all walks. I mean, you know, I'm thinking maybe I might be able to inoculate that mind. It's like the people that go out there and they got armfuls of tattoos and they got them on their faces and all that. And they think they're being original, not stopping to think that everybody else has tattoos these days. You know, so maybe the whole, I got a feeling that maybe the pendulum is going to swing back to maybe clean cut, short hair, no hipster beards or anything like that. I got a feeling it's going to swing the other way.
Maybe. I got one from Lynn Jasmine. Good stuff. Hey, I wouldn't even know what to say to Joel. Kind of like I couldn't think of what to say when I met y'all.
Y'all, we are definitely, you know, just, I understand that. You know, looking back at it, I guess I need to come down off my high horse a little bit, because I'm thinking if obviously there are times where you just don't have anything intelligent to say, like the time I met Randy Couture. And you try to think of something
to say.
Be like,
dang, you're short.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you'd be taller, you know. When you meet these people, I totally get it. I totally get it. So maybe I need to just... I'm thinking if you are a content creator, though, and you have Joel Salatin there, if nothing else, he could help you with your content creation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have to give him much to keep him going. Like, you can pretty much ask the question and let him answer it fully, and you'll get quite a bit of content right there.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I got another one from Sonny Preps. Yes, the Waltons and families with generational wealth. People talk about it being a bad sign that grown adults are having to live with parents, but that is the normal way. Isolated singles or nuclear families have only been the norm post-World War II. Extended family homes or compounds is more traditional.
Bam. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, I really couldn't have said it better, and that's exactly part of what we're trying to bring back is, honestly, I want my family near me. This is the way it was always done. Now, think about this. And I said it before, in the course of everybody's day, when you go to your 9-to-5, and believe me, I've been there, and Michelle's been there, William's been there, we've all been there, and you're spending the very best energy you have in the course of a day with strangers. And then when you get home, they get what's left. And it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of sacrifice to get to the point where, like, okay, like we did, first thing we're going to do is get your mom out of the matrix. Yeah. You and I stay working. Then we get you out of the matrix and I stay working. And then finally, when we get enough put back and saved and get everything knocked out and have a low consumption lifestyle, then I make the exit. Okay. All the while building up other sources of revenue at the same time. And being in these places, this is where we've kind of missed the boat. This is what Asian cultures kind of have down.
Well, no, I think it was torn down intentionally.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. By having the whole, like, the separate family. Like, okay, you were talking about Leonardo da Vinci earlier and stuff like that, and how we should be standing on the shoulders of our predecessors and stuff like that, because we can just add to the knowledge that they've already found out. You can't add wealth to a family that doesn't exist. So Bam. If the family doesn't exist, then you can't. It's way more difficult to build wealth if you don't have that family part to start
off with. Exactly. That's exactly what they've done also when they removed the one-room schoolhouse,
yeah,
where kids would learn at an exponential rate. Check out the work of John Taylor Gatto. Joel Salatin and I were talking a little bit about this. And what happened when they got rid of the one-room schoolhouse is that essentially at that same time, you got rid of this base of knowledge, this generational knowledge, this kids would learn in ways that were unimaginable. So they had to go ahead and break that down and put you in a another mode of education in which the trivium is removed, in which critical thinking is removed. And they're doing the same things with our family. So we're going to have to realize that, hey, you got a choice here. I know guys, I literally know guys that would have kids with serious behavioral problems. I would recommend books on how to figure that out. Wouldn't read that book, but they would sit here and go after trade magazine, trade magazine, trade magazine to figure out which new truck they were going to buy.
Yeah. Yep.
So we know the price of everything and the value of nothing in cases like that. So you got to ask yourself, I mean, this generational knowledge, the only way it's going to happen is if we can keep ourselves and our families in very close proximity. It's going to take work. And this is why I am encouraging, and I'm going to do more and more focus on it as far as how to create your own farm homestead business, how I will personally patronize you, how I will personally help promote you. But guess what? You got to do some work. You can't just take a derivation of an idea that we've already done or somebody else has already done. You got to go out there and put some work on it. Find out where the problems are. Find out what's needed and what you can do that is original to put you into the next category.
Or, yeah, look at the tools that you have. Like, I just broke another shovel yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I just broke another shovel yesterday. Maybe look at those issues, those common issues that you have, and try to solve that problem, and then tell other people about it. And if it works, other people will tell other people about it.
Okay, prime example. We were down at Keeper of the Old Ways. Prime example. There was this old timer that comes up and he's telling me, man, I'm near the precipice of being able to get rid of this job I have in town. And I'm like, what skills do you have? And now this is easy to do when you're doing it to someone else. And your mom was standing right there. And I said, what skills do you have? Well, he really loves to weld. And I'm like, okay, you want a $1 million idea right now? Not literally meaning a $1 million idea. He's there with his wife. And I said, I'll tell you what, I can't go anywhere and buy a pitchfork that will hold up for me turning compost.
Yeah.
We can't buy shovels where the handles don't break, and we're not abusing this stuff.
I'm digging up comfrey in loose soil.
Yeah.
Like, the handle shouldn't break.
And I'm telling this guy, and then I said, look, you want a $1 million idea? Come up with a broad fork, with a shovel, with a pitchfork. You say you like to weld? Come up with your own design and get with me. Let me test it out, and I will tell the world about it. And you're going to find out that other people in this homesteading community will go out there and buy it from you if you create a decent thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody, whoever has like any kind of woodworking skills and just wanted to sell straight grain handles for different like tools and stuff, you would make a fortune.
And
it just has to be straight grain. Like, it's not even, the grain can't run out the side in the handle on a shovel, or else it's just going to break right there. It broke down, Dad, the shovel broke down in the collar of the shovel.
I saw it.
In the metal.
And maybe you link up. Okay, then that makes sense. Let's say you're a person who's really good with wood. Maybe you want to have a joint business with this person over here that can weld. But the cool thing about it is you could see the look on this guy's face. Like, I was shocked that he had never thought about it. And you could see it was like this giant light just opened up before him. Not that I'm some great thinker. It's just, I pointed out something to him that he couldn't see because it was too close.
Yeah.
As part of the fellowship of going to these events is that you're going to hear somebody maybe just add one little thing to an idea that you currently have. Are you going to make the next best thing? There is, just find out, walk around your property. Think about the work you do. Son, you know as well as I do, when we were talking about these trees the other day, I have an idea, an invention that has been on the shelf that is a giant moneymaker. We have given away how many ideas to other, well, I'm not going to say who these homesteads are, but there, yeah, some of them are off and running with ideas that we gave them because we're like, okay, well, hey, here's what I got sitting on the shelf. You want to run with it? And they're doing it, and they're making a real good run of it. Two homesteads, I can think right off the top of my head.
I can think of three.
Head. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That are off and running. Yeah, I think I know who the third is. Yeah. That are off and running with ideas. But look, do that for other people. Maybe you don't have that skill, but you know somebody, hey, you know, if you want to get working for yourself, this is what you got to do. It's going to take some work, though.
And there's a business in right there, like doing consultations, like homestead business consultations for people.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a homestead business and it's successful and you're out of the rat race and stuff. Maybe you could go visit other homesteads and give them ideas, or just because it is easier to find out how other people, like what products other people could do. And it's a little bit harder for yourself almost.
And try to pick out things that everybody else isn't already doing.
Yeah.
Try to pick something that is a solution to a problem. That is another great benefit of going to these festivals and sitting around the campfire.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, y'all, I got this. Take Darren, for example. He's going to be at that one at the Midwest.
Yeah.
Darren. With, Darren.
Bobby.
From Hacks for the Homesteader. I don't care what it is. You give him, you show him anything that's mechanical, I guarantee he will look at it and show you how to improve it in about 10 seconds. So people like him are going to be there.
Yeah, they should have hired Darren to reverse engineer those alien aircrafts at Roswell.
Man, I'm telling you what, boy, Darren, yeah, no kidding, boy. If you had Darren out there at Roswell, he'd look at that thing and say, okay, man, these aliens are all right, man, but I got a way we can work this out a little bit better. Yeah, he could help out Bob Lazar and his thing. All right, yeah. Next one here. We got one from Richard. In fact, this come from another people, son. They're asking about, I don't know why, a number of emails came up about Bocking number 4 and Bocking number 14 regarding comfrey.
Russian Bocking number 4, the reason we use it is because it has the highest allantoin levels, which is the active compound in comfrey, like the healing compound in comfrey, or one of the healing compounds in comfrey, and it's the least bitter to livestock. So it's the most palatable one. It's the most medicinal one. It doesn't run on you. It doesn't spread on you. It's not going to drop a bunch of seeds and then take over your garden or anything like that. The only way it's going to spread is if you spread it, and you can spread that by running it over with the tiller or like digging it up, chopping it up, and then replanting the roots.
Once you buy that comfrey, you never got to buy it again.
Yeah. I mean, and get one plant established and you never have to buy comfrey again.
Ever again. And in fact, that is part of our goal, is to put ourselves out of business in the comfrey world, to get it so ubiquitous that we cannot sell it. We just did another video today where we're feeding the sheep. We feed the chickens. We feed the trees. We do everything with this stuff.
And we feed the neighbor's donkeys.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. Your mom. I got to get her to quit doing that.
Well, that was me. Okay. I was out there. Here's the thing. Well, I was harvesting comfrey roots, filled up an entire 5-gallon bucket with comfrey leaves, like pushed down. And it was a, solid bucket. And then I still had to harvest more roots. And those leaves I just gave to the donkeys. So they were following me around.
All right, got another one here from Patrick. Says, found you guys through Tony at the confessionals. In a nutshell, I'm just going to kind of cut through the chase here. He says, I'm wondering what is a good native nitrogen fixer that would be a good support bush for either berries, nuts, and whatever. If I'm not mistaken, it covers. Okay, let me just kind of cut to the chase.
A bush? Was he asking for a bush specifically?
Yeah, but let me direct you. And people think I'm crazy for doing this when I suggest people go check out somebody else. Look, I don't know why certain permaculture designers out there poo-poo Gaia's Garden, but if for nothing else, number one, there's great information in there. And I just don't understand this hatred that they have for it because, no, it doesn't cover everything, but son, what is one of the most valuable parts of that book?
The guilds list, the plant list in the back. I mean, yeah, you should definitely... If you're looking for a nitrogen fixer, if you're looking for a specific plant to like fill a role, get Gaia's Garden and look at the back of the book. Read the book, but also look at the back of the book where they have the plant index.
Absolutely. I don't know why everybody poo-poos that books, but that to answer your question, I'm going because I don't know what zone you're in. There's a lot of things I don't know. That is an awesome reference manual, man. If nothing else, use that book as nothing more than a reference manual.
If you're near Tony, if you're near where Tony lives, or if you're in the Tennessee area, one thing that might work out for you is goji berry. That's a shrub. It's nitrogen fixing, and it provides fruit. Now, keep in mind, the gomi berry does not fix nitrogen, or if it does, it's very little. The goji berry does fix nitrogen.
But get that book out there, because you're going to find out that depending on your zone, now he said he listened to Tony, he could be anywhere. So, but for this goes for everybody else out there, get that book as a reference guide, if nothing else, because when you're trying to lay out your guild, like, okay, I got my overstory, understory, shrub, you get it, la, 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 la. You can go through that book and say, okay, well, of this list of shrubs, what works in my area?
Yeah.
The vines, go on. That book is valuable for that reason alone, but also there are some really good ideas in there, one of which that we've been using for quite a while where we put a nitrogen-fixing tree that we're going to coppice in the very same hole as our productive tree. Well, where do you think I got it from? Gaia's Garden.
Yeah.
I said, well, let's try this. We tried it and tried it numerous times. And it works like nobody's business. There's a lot of other good stuff in there. You want a layout for your guilds right there in that book. Go check it out.
Gaia's Garden is a really good before book for permaculture.
Yeah.
It's a good way to wet your beak and kind of get some of the principles down without knowing you're getting any of the principles down.
Yeah, that's a really, really awesome thing. And there's a lot of other books out there. You hear us talk about them all the time. All right, last one's going to be from Andrea, and she was very sweet. Hi, Billy. Watch many of your videos. I appreciate learning from you all. I just ordered some comfrey, and I'm excited about getting them in around. Ground. I have a master's degree in architecture, and love permaculture. Okay, she asked a couple of other questions, but here's what I want to get at. So, a lot of people out there, and some people actually told me at the last couple of festivals, that the whole reason they were turned off from permaculture for the longest time is that the primarily who they see involved with it is the polar opposite of what we present.
Exactly. And now 9 times out of 10, the people presenting permaculture aren't people you would want to replicate.
And like, people that aren't
just
productive.
Looking at them. Well, like you wouldn't want to replicate them.
Especially if you come from a kind of background like we do, where it's more of a traditional family-based thing. A lot of the people that have the loudest voices in permaculture aren't like that. So I've made no bones about where I stand, and I'm a Christian American heterosexual pro-gun liberty-minded permaculture designer. And the fact that I have melanin in my skin makes me even that much more rare. there's a whole lot of people that haven't gone into the permaculture realm because they don't see a person they can relate to. Now, let me go back to Andrea's question. She is an architect. Do you know how valuable an architect with a permaculture background would be in this space?
Absolutely.
I don't know her any other slant, but do you know how awesome it would be to have a plumber that understood permaculture? That's exactly what I'm screaming out to building trades, to take what you know as a plumber, apply it into the hydrology that we use in permaculture or in farming or in homesteading in general. How about carpenters? Okay. And I'm talking legit carpenters out there that could do a whole lot in terms of building space, in terms of boxes, yeah. In terms of, if you could take what you know. So architects are one of them, engineers, all these other people, you got a place at the table. And guess what? It's not overgrown. It's not oversaturated. In fact, it's barely saturated.
Yeah. Like, we're digging swales and doing ponds and all that stuff without the background of having, or of working as a plumber. Imagine what would happen if a plumber had access to it.
Exactly.
There might be very obvious things that we could pimp out the swales and stuff like that, but we just don't know because we weren't a plumber.
I met a doctor down there and I'm thinking, what if we had more MDs? What if we had more DOs? What if we had more chiropractors, DCs, or even PhDs? If we had all of these people that have background, like take, for example, Elaine Ingham, PhD, soil science, single-handedly has changed the face of what we think we know about so many different things and is teaching me at the current moment. So if we take all these people where Fukuoka claimed, folks, this is why I recommend, I implore everybody to read One Straw Revolution. I know we're going long in the tooth, but I gotta point this out, is that when you find out, when you realize how systems thinking works in the world, in the real world, you'll find out that these minor disciplines don't even need to exist.
Yeah.
They can all work under one hat. That is the beauty of permaculture. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.